At first, it was just a U.S. Army fort on the banks of the river. In fact, forts were popping up left and right across the Western Territories in the early 1800s, so folks were used to it. And like others, Fort Dearborn was built and rebuilt over the decades. It wasn't until the 1830s, though, when the Black Hawk War ended and plots for a new city were sold, that white settlers really started flocking to the area. So in 1889, when a newspaper from Rochester, New York scoffed, "Chicago is not old enough to have ghosts." Well, famous last words, right? The house at 394 Belden Avenue was a pretty little two-story house, just a few blocks from Lincoln Park and the lakefront. It's exactly the kind of place a growing family would have wanted to settle in. The Gilded Age, in all its gaudy, hollow glory, was well underway. And while most of the glamour was happening in cities like New York, there was plenty of wealth being spread around, and Chicago was booming. Dr. W.C. Rowe was a physician who was doing well for himself. A deacon at the local church, Dr. Rowe had a thriving practice and was considered an upstanding citizen and a pillar of the community, never one to exaggerate or lie. Rowe moved with his wife, Belle, five children, and their housekeeper into their new home in 1889. That first night was probably very exciting. Children running from room to room, maybe fighting over which one would be theirs, while their mother and the housekeeper unpacked everything from toys to china before sitting down to supper and a quiet evening in the new house. Most of us have moved at least once before in our lives, so you can picture the scene, boxes and trunks still scattered about the halls and rooms when the Rowe family went to bed. Perhaps something from one of those precarious piles in the hallway fell and woke Dr. Rowe. The footsteps that followed, though, those couldn't be blamed on badly stacked books. The whole household was thrown into chaos around midnight by what sounded like a group of men loudly stamping their way upstairs, and then, suddenly, a gunshot. Understandably worried someone had broken in, Dr. Rowe and his family stayed put while the men were in the house, but slowly he and the housekeeper ventured out with lamps to explore. I can only imagine how nervous they were, creeping from one dark, strange room to another, looking for armed intruders. But there was no one there. It probably would have been easy for the Rowe family to chalk the whole thing up to nerves and a new house, until the noises happened again the next night. Banging, crashing, and gunshots became the norm for the Rowes for almost a month, until Dr. Rowe finally told someone what was happening. Worried that people would think that they were crazy, the Rowes invited people into the house one night to experience the haunting for themselves. All of the guests hid, watched, and waited until the ghostly visitors began tramping through the house once again. Everyone listened breathless to the sound of heavy boots stomping up and down the halls, of matches being lit, furniture being moved, and doorknobs rattling. No one moved until the sounds were gone. Finally, one night, the older Rowes had enough. They hid in different parts of the house, hoping to catch the ghosts, criminals, or practical jokers in action. Mrs. Rowe in the front bedroom, Dr. Rowe in the parlor, and the housekeeper in her room. And then, from the upper hallway, there was a bang, like two grown men were fighting and wrestling in a death match. The fight didn't last long, though, and was ended by the sound of a pistol being fired and a heavy body collapsing down the stairs. The adults lit their lamps and rushed from their hiding places to find nothing. Once again, no one was there, nothing was moved, and there was no sign of a struggle. People continued to occasionally stay the night, although they probably weren't getting much rest. The Rowe family certainly wasn't. When the story of the gang of ghosts spread beyond the neighborhood, local newspapers picked it up and ran with it. One day after an article was published by the Chicago Tribune, 5,000 people showed up outside the Rowe house to stare. Plenty were speculating about the origins of the gang fighting in the Rowe's parlor every night, and it might not have had supernatural origins. You see, there was one person who wasn't very happy with the publicity surrounding the house on Belden Avenue, and that was the Rowe's landlady, an elderly widow who lived on the other side of the city. She had only recently bought the house, and was fighting with the former owner, Nellie Wilson, over the sale. According to the real estate agent who brokered the sale, Nellie, in a very Scooby-Doo-style plot, was trying to drive out the new tenants so that the sale would be void and she could reclaim the property. He didn't know how she was doing it, but he was confident that Nellie was the Rowe family's ghostly visitor. Newspapers breathlessly followed the drama, but it all came to naught. Lawsuits and threats were bandied about, but ultimately nothing happened. The Rose stayed put, and the newspapers eventually stopped paying attention. And one day, at the end of the summer, the hauntings stopped. Who knows? If it had gone on any longer, Dr. Rowe could have recruited Chicago's other ghosts to build an avenue for their very own Fright Club. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with writing and research by Alexandra Steed and music by Chad Lawson. Lore Bites are a perk offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes of Lore Bites each Wednesday morning. And be sure to follow the show on YouTube, Threads, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.